But as we turn to Judges, and we're going to start in chapter 13, but as we take a look into Samson's life, sometimes, you know, we know Samson is from, well, when we hear Samson, what we think of? Well, we think about his incredible strength. And, you know, I know sometimes I think, man, I'm the probably the strongest guy in this building right here. Probably not. But as we think about, you know, man, maybe I'm strong. Maybe, oh, I'm mighty. Oh, maybe I can, you know, give me 50 pounds and, you know, hey, I can do it. Or, you know, you name the amount and I can bench press that. But as we see here, ultimately, Samson, as we refer to him about his strength, and we're going to notice ultimately, you know, what he's a strength for. And then also, as we look into Samson's life, we go also notice, you know, his life and his lifestyle. And as we look into Judges chapter 13, you know, there's three simple points, you know, Baptist preacher, three simple points that I want for you to take away before you leave here tonight. You know, three simple points. And, you know, as I think about, you know, even that one sermon that we heard from camp, you know, how to waste a week. And I'll tell you, for some of us sometimes, you know, sometimes I remember when I was younger, you know, sometimes, oh, I'm in the service, but you know what? I'm thinking about all sorts of other things. But I'll tell you, it's so important to have the very Word of God with us today and to be able to hold it fast, to hold it with us, to understand it, to know our ground, to know why we believe what we believe, to know, hey, why we're here. And, you know, it's crazy to think about what people believe, why we're here, what people think, you know, that, you know, ultimately, you know, many people in this society, in the secular world, believes what, that we're all, you know, just a normal human being just living here for the time. But ultimately, as we take a look in God's Word, you know, hey, we are here for a purpose. And I'm so thankful for that purpose, you know, ultimately, as Christ has, you know, told us, and especially in the New Testament and throughout all the Gospels and the books, you know, to go out and share the Gospel and to go out witness for Him and ultimately deliver lives for Him. But as we look into Judges chapter 13, you know, first point I want you to try to walk away, try to realize, try to, you know, maybe, you know, this could be some helps that we can have in our life. But the first point is the potential. You know, the potential is Samson's life. You know, each and every one of us are born, correct? You know, none of us are robots here today. Anybody? Oh, well, maybe a couple, but no, we won't say. We'll take them in the back a little bit later, see if they're robotic or not. No, we won't do that. But, you know, ultimately, as a baby is being born, you know, sometimes we can reflect on the potential of that one person. No, for example, or like even a sport, you know, somebody comes to practice, you think, oh, man, you know, this is a new tryout. You think about NFL, all these sports teams, they come out and they try out and say, oh, man, this might be a great fit. Or they might say, hey, man, look at that potential to be maybe a role that they need in their team. But as we take a look into Samson's life, you know, notice the very potential ultimately that he had, the ultimately that he had right in his hands. But also we're going to notice as we go to our second point, but we'll go notice our first point first. But notice with me in Judges chapter 13, starting in verse 1. So it's in Judges chapter 13, and starting in verse 1, and it says, "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. Let's notice these next couple verses. And it says, "And there was a certain man of Zorah, the family of Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not." And it says in verse 3, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son." No, notice, you know, you think about that point of being potential, the potential of Samson's life. You know, hey, he was extraordinary, you know, from his very birth. And you think about, hey, we can accomplish great and mighty things, you know, ultimately not for my sake, not for my parents' sake, but ultimately for Christ's sake. But as we see here, we notice, hey, even the very birth of Samson, hey, was announced by what? By a visit from an angel of the Lord. And as we notice here in verse 3, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son." You know, as we think about the very child of God, you know, hey, you know what? We, when we trust Christ as our Lord and Savior, hey, we have a new birth. You know, hey, what old things are passed away? What, hey, new things are before us. And as we think about the very potential of Samson's life, you know, hey, it was pretty extraordinary. You know, angel came, and as we see here, you know, ultimately as, you know, we see here verses, you know, 8 through 14, and as the angel reconfirms the very words that the angel has spoken unto Samson's parents. But as we see here, you know, hey, you know, Samson had a pretty good potential. And as we think about each and every one of our lives, you know, you could think about the very potential that you have. No, maybe, I know for some of us, maybe it's not the same potential as somebody that's, you know, young, that's, you know, that, you know, can do so much or whatever it may be. But you know what? Each and every one of us, hey, have potential, hey, to do great and mighty things for the Lord. No matter how strong we are, like, for example, like Samson, but also like what notices downfall. Or no matter how, you know, weak we may say we are. But you know what? Hey, with God, what we can accomplish, what great and mighty things for the Lord. But as we think about Samson, and we think about Samson's life, hey, he accomplished a lot. And as we think about, you know, turn with me to chapter 14 of Judges. Thankfully, we don't have to turn a couple of books, but only a couple chapters. But to Judges 14, notice, you know, he killed a lion. You know, it says in chapter 14, verses 5, and it says, "Then went Samson down, and his father and his mother, Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion warred against him." Oh, man, imagine if a, man, Brother Butch, imagine if there was a lion right in your backyard. Oh, man, get the shotgun out ready, right? You know, or maybe a pistol or whatever it may be. Oh, man, that lion's not coming in. But notice, you know, how Samson defeated this lion. And notice, you know, verse 6, it says, "In the," man, look at those four words. Hopefully everybody's looking in their Bible, but it says in verse 6, and it says, "The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand. And he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman. She pleased Samson well." You know, just amazing how Samson defeated that lion just with his very bare hands. You know, some of us, oh, we'll grab the shotgun, we'll grab, you know, anything, we'll grab a book, we'll try to grab anything in the way, try to defeat it. But you know what? With the Spirit of the Lord, you don't need nothing. No, all you need is, hey, Lord, hey, I'm willing to be used, just use me. You know, as simple as that. But as we see here, you know, notice another great accomplishment in chapter 15. It says in chapter 15, verse 4, and it says, "And Samson went and caught 300 foxes." Oh, I can imagine catching 300 foxes. You know, trying to round them all up. But notice it says over here in Samson, verse 4, "Samson went and caught 300 foxes and took firebrands and turned tail to tail and put a firebrand in the midst between the two tails. And when he had set the brands on the fire, he let them go into the standing corn of the Philistines and burn up the shocks and also the standing corn with the vineyards and olives. Then the Philistines said, 'Who hath done this?' And then they answered, 'Samson, the son-in-law of Timnath, because he hath taken his wife and given her his companion.' And the Philistines came up and burned her and her father with fire." You know, he accomplished, you know, he performed, you know, this great, you know, I can't imagine, you know, doing that myself, you know, tying all these tails of the, you know, all these foxes and putting, you know, these firebrands in. And the next, you know, as they burn all the corn and, you know, oh, man, I love eating corn. You know, my wife has really got me to eating lots of corn, especially locally. But as you think about here, all that corn, all that crop is being destroyed. And also, as we see here, you know, we go even see, you know, some retaliation, you know, from the Philistines, as it says, you know, in verse, you know, 6, "Then the Philistines said, 'Who hath done this?' And they answered, 'Samson, the son-in-law of Timnath, because he had taken his wife and given her to a companion.' The Philistines came up and burnt her and her father with fire." You know, it's crazy to think, you know, about retaliation. And, you know, sometimes we can retaliate, you know, in different ways of life. we can retaliate very bitterly, or we can retaliate, very calmly. But, for the Christian, hey, retaliation, it ultimately belongs to God. And, what we can say for those who have trust Christ and for those who have Christ in their hearts, hey, we can say, hey, retaliation belongs to God. You know what? I'm going to leave God settle this. And you know what? It's simple. It's so simple. In many, things, especially in life, we just say, Lord, hey, I want this to be upon you. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to get through this, but hey, that's upon you. Hey, you know what? Lord, I need you right here. For example, I need the Lord right now. But as we go through these books, Samson, has, a great accomplishments. And as we even think about it, he, took upon the Nazarite vow. And, as we know that his source of his strength, hey, not only came from, hey, his very long hair. And I can't imagine if I had long hair, I'd probably look. I don't know. How would I look? Who knows? But as we take a look into Samson, that very Nazarite vow, it was very special. Those people that will take this Nazarite vow, when they're under this vow, hey, they regard themselves, specifically devoted to God. And you think about the word, you think about Samson, and ultimately they're leaving their hair uncut. That very source. I know people that, a lady, and when I was working at Hobby Lobby, she let her hair down all the way down to her feet. And I can imagine, I'll be sweating every day. I mean, I'm already am. But as we think about it, ultimately, hey, and also, drinking no wine, eating no grape products, and avoiding, anything that can, ultimately can contact with anything dead. But this was a very special vow ultimately Samson took. But notice also, another, hey, extraordinary, accomplishment that he did, ultimately, as we think about, especially in his enemies, against the Philistines. As we see here, ultimately, Samson was always battling these Philistines and always trying to win, always trying to lose, always win. And ultimately, hey, thankful for the Spirit of the Lord that was with Samson. But as we see here, especially look back with me in chapter 14, and it says in verse 19, and it says, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and shewed 30 men of them and took their spoil and gave change of garments unto them which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled, and he went up his father's house. But Samson's wife was given to his companion, whom he had used as his friend. Just think about another accomplishment in chapter 15 and starting in verse 13. And it says, and they spake unto him, saying, no, but we will bind thee fast and deliver thee into the hand, but surely we will not kill thee. And they bound him with two new cords and brought him up from the rock. And notice, the great and mighty power of our Lord. And it says in verse 14, and as we read a couple more verses, it says, and when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord. Notice, oh man, if I had a pen on me right now, I'd be underlining the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord. And hey, when we try to do things in our own strength, hey, we fall right flat on our feet. But as we see here, it says, hey, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. It says, verse 14, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands. Notice, next couple of verses, and he found a new jawbone of an ass and put forth his hand and took it and slew 1,000 men therewith. I can imagine having a jawbone of a donkey and trying to defeat 100 Philistines right before me, a one-man army, versus 100, 1,000 Philistines. As we see here, this 1,000 Philistines, I can't imagine, defeating all those, hey, in my own strength. I wouldn't be able to do it. But as we see here, notice this in verse 16, and Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, and with the jaw of an ass have I slain 1,000 men. Now notice the pronoun I. Now, as he's saying, hey, I have done this. Hey, I have proven this. But notice, ultimately, he's going to be a little thirsty. Notice verse 17, and it came to pass when he had made an ending of speaking that he cast away the jawbone of his hand and called the place Ramath Lehi. And notice verse 18, and he was sore thirst and called on the Lord. Now, notice this, prayer right here. it says, and said, "Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised?" But God clave an hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout, and when he had drunk, his spirit came again and revived. Wherefore he called the name, therefore, Eklahor, which is in Lehi unto this day, and he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. You know, you think about, you know, that thousand army. I can't imagine, you know, the Samson picking up, beating, you know, the Philistine army of the thousand men. The next, it could have been a really hot day. And, you know, as we think about, you know, even a little bit earlier, it was after the wheat, you know, harvest. And as it says in chapter 15, verse 1, but it came to pass within a while after, in the time of wheat harvest. And as I think about that time of the wheat harvest, it would have been hot. It would have been just think about a nice summer, 90 degree weather or even more. Oh, I'd be soaking sweat. And you know what? You could see Samson could have been tired. He could have been, you know, exhausted. He, you know, the only thing he really wants was a very drop of cold water. But as he voiced his call upon the Lord, you know, as we see here, he used that very same jaw to be able to give him what, and it says in verse 19, but God clave in hollow place, was in the jaw, there came water thereout, and when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. You know, after all, man, after a nice hard working day, you know what, it's so good to get a nice cold water or pop or, oh, sweet tea, and to drink that, and oh, it is so good. You feel so refreshed. You feel revived. Oh, man, I could do this again all over again the same day. But as we see here, you know, notice, you know, hey, Samson was able to do extraordinary accomplishments. You know, he was able to do great and mighty things. You know, even think about, you know, in the very evidences of Samson's life, you know, he proved that, hey, he was a man of God. He proved that by the power of, as we look time after time, you know, notice, you know, chapter 13, in verse 25, and it says, and the Spirit of the Lord, you know, and notice with me chapter 14 and verse 19, and it says, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Notice with me chapter 15, verse 14, and when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And just think about how he enjoyed the very miracles of God blessing all these things in his life, time after time after time. You know, I cannot imagine, you know, defeating 1,000 men in an army by myself. I can't imagine, you know, defeating a lion right, you know, hey, amongst of right before me. But as we take a look, you know, hey, Samson's life, he had a very great potential for the Lord. But as we take a look, and we always, you know, sometimes we don't want to go to the bad part. Hey, sometimes, you know, we want to, hey, say all the good things, and next, you know, hey, let's forget about the bad, and you know what, that's another day. But notice, as we look at the second point, you know, first one, hey, ultimately, the potential of Samson's life, but also number two, the problem. Oh, the problem of Samson's life, as we see in, ultimately, in Judges chapter 14, and as we see in verse 1, and as we see here, you know, it's a three-letter word. We can narrow it down, three-letter word, and we all deal with it, and it's called sin. And it says, in Samson, in chapter 14, verse 1, went down to Timnath, and saw, oh, notice, you know, oh, I underline that right in my Bible, because you know what, hey, it only takes a matter of a first look of sin. And it says, and he saw a woman in Timnath, the daughters of the Philistines, and he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath, the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Then his fathers and his mother said unto him, notice, incredible parents that he had. And as we, you know, notice, you know, ultimately, you know, when, you know, when you're trying to marriage into another, for example, like the Philistines, hey, that was, you know, that was not good to do. And as we see here, ultimately, his parents is trying to persuade him, hey, don't go into this. Hey, don't go after this lady. But as we see here, notice verse 3, and then his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? You know, as we think about, hey, as being a Christian, hey, we should be marrying what? Somebody that is a Christian. Hey, you know, we shouldn't be marrying an unbeliever. We shouldn't be marrying somebody that's what? Unequally yoked. But notice here, as we keep reading in verse 4, verse 3, and it says, "And Samson said unto his father, get her for me." And here's what comes another word that I underline. "For she," notice that next word right there, "she pleaseth me well." You know, you think about the word Saul, you think about the word please, and you know what? Sometimes, you know what? Our sin does the very exact things that as we see here in Samson's life. Hey, we sing a bus song, you know, for, oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. You know, be careful, little eyes, what you see. What, for the Father looks above. And then I forgot the rest of the song. But as we think about, you know, ultimately, hey, you know, Christ is looking. He already knows exactly what we're doing. And as we think about, you know, when we saw, and you know what, when for example, you know, when we miss a Sunday, man, maybe your heart, oh, man, I feel pleased. I got all this work done. But the next, you know, it's going to be so easy to go the next week and be, oh, I could push that. You know, I don't have to go to church. I could, you know, do all sorts of ways. But as we see here, you know, Samson, he faced some powerful adversaries. And as ultimately, as we see here, you know, his lust and his sin, and ultimately, he battled for the Philistines. You know, as we see here, you know, he was a judge for over 20 years. You know, it says in verse 20 of chapter 15, but as, you know, his greatest enemy, and sometimes we can say this as well, our greatest enemy, and ultimately Samson's greatest enemy was himself. You know, Samson's greatest enemy was himself. You know, sometimes, you know what, we could, you know, oh, man, I want to do it my way. Sometimes, you know what, you know, forget, you know, man, my Sunday school teacher told me this, and you know what, I want to do something else, or man, you know, oh, or something, you know, maybe a preacher or a Sunday school teacher or somebody up here teaching, oh, it's stepping on the toes, and you know, oh, I don't want to hear that, you know, or, you know, it could be all sorts of things. But as we see here, you know, Samson's greatest enemy was himself. You know what, his own flesh. Oh, our own flesh craves after the world. Hey, we have a world that craves, you know, wicked things. You know, as we think about our flesh appetites, you know, and it wants to crave this three-letter word as we call sin. And as we all know, and, you know, as we think about, you know, always think about the describing sin, you know, as we talk about to the youth, anything we do, say, or think that displeases God. But you know what, instead of, hey, Samson could have, like, totally surrendered, he could have stopped right there, you know, once he saw, once he looked, what's it pleasing, he could have stopped right there. But he kept on going. No, he could have stopped right there and say, you know what, Lord, I surrender. No, I surrender. I know that, hey, this is tempting. Hey, I know this can be pleasing. Hey, I know that, hey, my flesh really craves after this, but oh, Lord, I need you. But as we see here, instead of surrendering his body, his soul, his mind, everything of his, but you know what? He allowed his flesh to control ultimately his life and ultimately his outcome. But notice, you know, he paid a high price for that type of living. No, he paid a high price for that living. And I don't want anybody to lead today to go out through these doors and pay that price. You know, we're going to talk, you know, just in a couple moments about the very losses of Samson. And you know what? I don't want for us to have those type of losses. But you know what? As we think about, hey, he faced very powerful, you know, adversaries, you know, as we think about even Delilah. But as we see her, you know, he faces, you know, powerful even attractions. No, notice with me in verse 8 in chapter 14, and it says, "And after a time he returned to take her and to turn aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating and came to his father and mother, and he gave them, and they did eat. But he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. So his father went down unto the woman, and the Samson made there a feast. For so used the young men to do." And notice a couple more verses. "And it came to pass, when he saw him, they brought 30 companions with him. And Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you. If ye can certainly declare it with me within 7 days of the feast, and find out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 changes of garments. You know what? You know, ultimately, as we think about Samson, you know, ultimately, Samson was a Nazarite. You know, that Nazarite vow is so precious. It's supposed to be, you know, you're supposed to have that a very high, and if you had the Nazarite, you know, also, you know, he's supposed to live a life that's ultimately totally dedicated to the Lord. But yet, he's sitting here as we look, you know, even in the very couple verses here, he's sitting there living for himself. You know, he was deceitful. He was lustful. He wanted, you know, ultimately his way. Hey, he was proud. And, you know, ultimately anything that Samson wanted, you know, ultimately he, you know, really wanted that type of desire. And as we think about all of our transgressions, all of our sins. But you know what? Notice, you know, in Judges chapter 16, you know, with me in verse 1, and it says in verse 1, it says, "There then went Samson to Gaza." And notice that another word, Saul, there in harlot, and went unto her. You know, I think I remember hearing this once, you know, there's a difference between seeing and then doing it. And as we see here, you know, Samson, you know, he saw, he could have stopped, he could have gave it to the Lord, he could have surrendered, but then ultimately he went and did what was wrong. But as we, you know, notice, you know, ultimately, you know, as we think about Samson and ultimately, you know, starting in verse 4 of chapter 16, Samson and Delilah, and then ultimately what the Philistines came up to Delilah, and hey, you know, notice this, and it says in verse 5, "And the lords of the Philistines came upon her and sent unto her, entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver." Now you think about, you know, Judas, you know, those pieces of shekels. And as we think about here, you know, man, you know, sometimes, hey, money can be, you know, bribery. You know, sometimes you think about money. Hey, if you, hey, here's some money. Hey, take this, you know. And, you know, there's all sorts of equivalents of what today's value may be. Some people say it could be up to $90,000 to $200,000 to $1 million. And, you know, it could be very high in today's value. But, you know, just thinking about it, are you willing, you know, ultimately Samson ultimately is getting his life in a mess, and ultimately, you know, the Philistines, he's using ultimately a lady that doesn't even love Samson. But notice, you know, as we keep reading, ultimately we'll see a couple lies that Samson's going to tell. Now, as we all, you know, as we all see in Samson, it says verse 6, "And Delilah sent out to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. Then Samson said unto her, if they by me with 7 green wits that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man." You know what? Hey, the Philistines, oh, hey, we got those green wits ready once you said that. And the next, you know, they bind them up. Oh, man, I wish I had like a rope and have maybe a child to help me bind them up and see if they could rip it off like Samson. But as we see here, ultimately, what does Samson do? And it says in verse 9, "And there with men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber, and she said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson." Oh, notice what he did. And it says, "And he brake the wits as the thread of tow is broken, when in touch of the fire, so his strength was not known." You know what? Hey, that's his first lie. Notice, hey, there's going to be a second one. And it says, "Now ultimately, as we see here, Delilah said unto her in verse 10, behold..." Now, I can imagine, you know, if it's be, you know, what kind of tone it would have been. But it says, "Behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. But tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound." And he said unto her, "If they bind me fast with new ropes that never occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man." And you know what? Oh, the Philistines, it's like, you know, sometimes I watch a commercial or something, you know, like, for example, with the lights, all you have to do is, you know, all the lights go off. You know, it feels like, you know, the Philistines, you know, it's Delilah, you know, here comes the Philistines with the ropes and everything all ready, tie them up, and then next, you know, we all know what happens, what he doesn't, ultimately he broke them, and then ultimately, notice this in verse 13, "And Delilah said unto Samson, hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with the web." I can't imagine getting weaves and, you know, all sorts of things in which, you know, my hair, because I don't have long hair. But as we see here in Samson, you know, weaving, you know, and ultimately we know what happens, don't we? And it says here in verse 15, it says, verse 15. And he said unto them, how canst thou say, I love thee? Now, ultimately, we're talking about Delilah. While thy heart is not with me, thou hast mocked me these three times, and thou told me wherein thy great strength lies. You know, notice with all three of these lies, he could have stopped. He could have surrendered to the Lord. He could have said, no, hey, I want to get out of this. Hey, I don't love this lady. Hey, I want to serve you. But ultimately, as he kept going, sin, ultimately, as we said it before, sin makes you go places and where, hey, you don't want to go. And as we think about Samson, for example, if I would have came over here and, for example, I could be Samson and ultimately that sin's over there. No, hey, just from looking at it, I'm pulling that rope, the next I'm getting closer. And oh man, that looks so good over there. The next you keep pulling it, keep pulling it. The next you're right there and oh, it has you. And as we think about Samson and the very pulliness of the sin, and notice, ultimately in verse 16, it says, and it came to pass when she pressed, pressed him daily with her words and urged him. The soul was vexed unto death. Have you ever time? I know probably parents probably would understand this. I don't know too much about this. Sometimes I hear, sometimes you hear a kid, I've probably done this a lot. It says, Mom, I want this. Please, 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 you give me this. Please, 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 please. You say it 40,000 times, and and hey, the next note, you give in. Anybody like that today? I know sometimes my mom, please, I want this. Or I can't live without this. But you just think about it, Delilah was persistent every single day to know the underlying strength of Samson. And just think about how sin persists. Just leave sin, leave a little foothold into your life. Hey, it's going to keep persisting. Hey, that sin would just keep creeping. Hey, that sin, the next it's up to your knees and up to your stomach and it's up to your shoulders. And next you're all filled with it. The next you're out of church. The next you're having problems in which, hey, we may not know how it may happen, but sometimes they can be resulted over chastisement from God. But as we see here from Samson, ultimately we notice what Samson gave in to Delilah. And as we think about, as he gave in, it's sad just to see from the start. I'm thankful that we have the Bible. We can start and look all the way back to the finish. Hey, we can reread. We can look. The very potential of Samson was very, 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 very high. But you know what? Sometimes, going on roller coasters. Sometimes you start really high. The next you just grow straight down. And just think about Samson's life. He had so much potential. And today, I encourage you, each and every one of us, to the youngest to the oldest, have so much potential for the Lord. And no matter what way, it could be in any way, but God can still use us. Whether we're in a wheelchair, whether we walk slow, whether, you just think about any obstacle that we may think in our minds, in which, God's not going to let me to do that. But you know what? God can. He's the great physician. Hey, he can cure any type of virus. He can, heal any sort of, thing that may come our way. And as we take a look in Samson's life, but notice lastly, number three, as we took a look at the potential, ultimately we took a look, ultimately at his sin, but as we see here, notice, the very product of Samson's life. Notice with me, it says in verse 21, but the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with the fetters of the brass and did grind in the prison house. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. You know what? It's sad just to see what Samson's life abounded to. And I don't want that to be any of us here today. Now, as we think about, he lost the very losses in his life. As we see here, verse 21, he lost his vision. I can't imagine, being, for example, me being 25 years old and losing my vision and ultimately until I go spend eternity with Christ. I can't imagine, plucking my eyes out. But you know what? Hey, Samson lost his physical sight. You know, when a child of God, leaves, you know, as we think about our flesh, you know, craves, and when we leave our flesh under control of the very flesh, what it craves too, we can lose or will lose our eyesight. But as you know, that's not the only thing he lost. You know, you think about sin is you know, it costs us so much that sometimes we don't even consider the cost of it. We just want that pleasure. Just like Samson, it pleaseth me. I want it. But as we see here, he lost his vision. But as we see here, notice, back in verse 20, and she said, chapter 16, and she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he woke out of his sleep and said, I will go as out at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. You know, Samson lost his physical strength. You know, when he gave ultimately what that secret to him, the secret to Delilah and that Philistine army. Man, it's sad just to see. You know what? Also, he lost. You know, notice with me in verse 21 again. It says, and the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow after he was shaven. You know what? He lost his victory. Oh, victory is so precious. You know, ultimately, victory is you know, ultimately proven by the very blood of Christ. But as we see here, Samson is being made to do the work of grinding corn. And you know what? This process of grinding corn ultimately was a type of a lady would work and was given to, you know, this, they would give him this job just to humiliate Samson and ultimately to indicate how weak he was and also how he became. Now, can you see, can you see yourself in Samson's place grinding corn, you know, for the Philistines? You know, can we all? You know, I pray that, I am not that. But as we see here, there's a couple lessons. As we wrap it up, there's a couple lessons from Samson's life. We notice, he had a great potential. But notice, ultimately, as we see here, as it says, as we think about all these verses here, think about the very death of the Philistine, the very death of Samson. Notice this, and it says, Samson trying to make a last final call in verse 28 of chapter 16. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and which was borne up of the one with his right hand, and of the other his left. And the Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all of his might. And the house fell upon the lords, upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Then his brethren and on the house, and the father came down, took him, brought him, and buried him. But notice, the very life of Samson. There are so many takeaways, but you know what? Ultimately, he lost. You know, as a believer, we all have this. You know, ultimately, he lost his fellowship with the Lord. You know, the thing about Samson, as he started, you know, he started out so great, but you know what? He allowed his sin. He allowed what he saw. He allowed actually doing the very sin. He allowed it to please himself, as we see here in chapter 14, verse 14. But you know what? Please, I encourage you today, don't leave the Spirit of the Lord be out of you. Now, it's so very important, especially today. You know, as you think about Samson had the very connection of the fellowship. And, you know, as we think about the very fellowship of God, and, you know, God is right in the middle. And, we determine in that podium and in that area of how close or how far away we want to have a relationship with the Lord. And as we think about Samson's life, man, he started out great. But notice what he lost. And as I pose this question to you, please don't allow your life to end up to be a Samson. Now you think about it, you know, Samson had it going. He had the Spirit of the Lord. He's seen great and mighty things. But you know what? At the end, it mounted up, you know, as some may call it, to no good. But as we think about our lives today, you know, don't pay the price of the high cost just for lowly living, just like Samson did. You know, hey, there's things in our life that, hey, it may, you know, it shouldn't be there. Hey, you know, we have an old-fashioned altar. I'm so thankful we still go to the old-fashioned altar. You know, we still have the old-fashioned altar that we can go to. Hey, we could just leave it to God. We could just, hey, allow, like, say, Lord, you know, please, you know, I need my life to be yielded to you. You know what? Maybe something, you know, we may need to ask for forgiveness. You know, I'm so thankful that we have a forgiving. We have a loving. You know, think about the very names of Christ. You know, as I was looking, you know, just for a Sunday school lesson just a couple weeks ago. You know, it's so much. You know, over 50 names that we have for the names of Christ. The Redeemer, the Lover, He's the Forgiver. And as we think about all these, you know, even names. But I'm so thankful that, you know what? As we always refer to John 3:16, for God so loved the world. You know what? God loved Samson. You know, amongst of all his sin, amongst everything that happened to him, God still loved him. But his fellowship wasn't right, you know, with the Lord as it should have been. You know, maybe we need to get back to reading our Bible. You know, maybe we need to have a time in which we read the Bible each and every single day. Maybe we need to have a time in which we pray. I tell you, I wouldn't be here without prayer. You know, I couldn't imagine meeting my wife without prayer and seeking the Lord in wisdom and guidance. And as we led, you know, just from an email. Anybody still use email? Oh, man, email. But then, you know, then started to text and starting the video call. And then, you know, I never thought it'll lead to marriage, but I'm so thankful it did. God has blessed me so much with her. No, God has blessed me so much just to be here, just, you know, just to ride the church bus in and to see how the Lord just works. You know, the Lord, hey, still works today. Oh, please don't miss the opportunity, what the Lord can do in your life. You know, so many times we go in life, of what, you know, we sometimes think about what God wants in our life, but then we know what, we just close the book and think about mine. But let's not do that today. Let's remember, you know, what Christ did for us. You know, he paid a sorrowful death for each and every one of us. You think about it, he was beaten with fists. He was mocked. They put that crown of thorns. Oh, I can imagine. You know, they got that cat of nine tails and just, oh, put that glass on the ends and just stripped them. Oh, when sin comes, man. Just think about how great Savior that we have. Man, you know, so many times we can get ourselves out of trouble if we just think about Him. You know, just like Samson, he had a choice. And he had an opportunity. But let's make sure, hey, that we keep our choice up to God. Hey, not my life, not my will. Not you know, hey, it's my way or the highway, but it should be God's way. We have every head bowed and eyes closed. I come, just go play a hymn of invitation. And as we come here for the invitation, I'm so thankful that we have a loving Savior. Amongst